This episode of the Missed Spots podcast is brought to you by Amazon Prime, the amazing service from Amazon that allows you to get free two-day shipping on nearly every item available on their website, plus access to Amazon Prime Music and Prime Video service with tons of movies and TV shows, including the acclaimed original series Transparent, starring Jeffrey Tambor. Now you can get a free three-month trial of Amazon Prime by going to missbots.com/prime. Plus, if you do that, Amazon's going to throw in a free three-month trial of HBO on your Prime Video. Nothing else you have to say or do. You get that for free with this trial as well. That way you can catch up on Game of Thrones, Westworld, or you can watch anything from HBO's amazing back catalog, like The Sopranos, The Wire. It's all there for you. After your trial, you can pay just $99 for the entire year of Prime. Trust me, that sounds like a lot, but as a Prime member myself, that money more than pays for itself in just two-day shipping after just a couple of months. So head over to missbots.com/prime. right now and try Amazon Prime for free for 3 months and join what practically everyone should be a part of, Amazon Prime.
You know, Mike, one of the good parts about my DirecTV going out because of the weather this week is not having to see Lacey Evans walk down the ramp only to turn around and walk backstage for the, 25th time, which I absolutely have to presume happened again this week on SmackDown.
It did. Other positive aspects of Kevin's night and much more on this episode of the Missed Spots podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Fiend!
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game!
All right, we are back here, and before we get into SmackDown, we're going to have Kevin also predict other things that he thinks went on during the show, and he'll probably be right about those, too.
I think The Undertaker came back and went over Daniel Bryan in a triple threat match for the World Championship. It was Undertaker over Daniel Bryan and the entire SmackDown tag team division for some reason. Did that happen?
Yeah. Do you have any lucky numbers that I should be playing in the lotto?
Well, you know, listen, old talent burying new. That's an easy call.
All right. So let's get into talking about what actually happened. Not that Lacey Evans walking out and walking away didn't happen. It did twice again. So we'll just get that out of the way. And let's talk about Raw. An eventful Raw.
And, you know, you have to start out an episode like this by, we run down these shows and we give our opinions and oftentimes they're negative and this, that, and the other. But just good for frickin' Roman Reigns. The fact that he is in remission and back in front of a crowd, we have definitely taken him to task as a character. We've definitely taken the writing of him to task. And quite frankly, part of not seeing Roman for a while makes this take away the personal aspect and the health issues that Roman has, which are vastly more important than a professional wrestling show. But just not having Roman around for a while makes you realize, you know, what he brings to the table on a regular basis. And just really happy for him, for his loved ones, for just everyone involved to see him back and healthy and ready to go again.
Oh yeah, I'm for sure on that wagon like everyone else. I have a heart and happy to see this guy beaten
such a terrible disease. I'm also happy because this is a prediction that I made that has come true. So I got one there.
That Roman Reigns would come back?
That Roman Reigns would be on TV. That's what I tried to be generic, and I made that happen. Well, I didn't make that happen. I didn't go like, Roman, go on TV for me.
Well, Mike, that's a really, really impressive prediction. Good for you. Good for you.
Oh, you're Christian Bale now?
So the first match that we had on this episode of Raw was Aleister Black and Ricochet. So you're telling me that these guys have been on the main roster. They still don't have a show. In fact, none of the main roster caller-ups from months ago now have a show that they're actually on, which is just stupid. And it shows how little thought and planning goes into any of this. Well, listen, Vince McMahon says, we don't have enough star power. Let's bring these guys up. There's no plan. Mike, there's no plan for this. There's no plan for Aleister Black and Ricochet. You know how I know? Because Aleister Black and teaming with Ricochet is idiotic.
It makes no sense. Aleister Black should not be teaming up with really anyone on any of the rosters. No one really looks like they fit with him. And seeing him, especially on SmackDown with the whole backstage segment that went on with them, and Aleister kind of like nudging Ricochet and then kind of giving that head nod like, yo, look over there. Like, I cannot believe that in any instance Aleister Black has done that in the last 15 years of his life. It kind of elbow nudge someone and do the head nod like, yo, sup over there. Like, because I can't imagine him as being buddy-buddy with people. This team boggles my mind. Listen, and the fact that they're throwing them in as a makeshift tag team instead of singles guys.
Well, okay, so there's a couple things to unpack here. Aleister Black did compete in tag team matches in NXT. That's 100% true.
Yeah, so, but not on a regular basis.
Oh, and I know.
Not as a team.
Yeah, but the fact that you have them as a... I'm not assuming they are a tag team. I'm assuming that they are two guys they have nothing for, so they're in randomly assigned pointless tag matches. That's my assumption when it comes to these two guys at this point. And the fact that if they are actually going to use them as a tag team, it's a dumb idea and they shouldn't have done it. Two, if they just call up two guys to the main roster and the best thing they can think of to do is put them in a tag team, it's a dumb idea and they shouldn't have done it. And then you know what else is another stupid idea? For 2 weeks in a row, your Raw tag team champions fall in a match against recent call-ups that all four of which should not be involved with tag teams with each other. I mean, Ciampa and Gargano were a hell of a tag team. I get it. But they have flourished and become so much more as singles competitors. This is just poor planning, awful booking. They should be ashamed of themselves. They've got too many people on this frickin' roster to call this up and do this again. They've got Andrade who's being underutilized. They have Drew frickin' McIntyre who's being underutilized. They've got guys like Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn supposedly coming back and Bray Wyatt. They've got way too many frickin' amazing, talented individuals who are doing nothing. And they're going to call these guys up to be in pointless tag team matches? No.
And defeat your champions 2 weeks in a row. Defeat one of the better tag teams last week. Like, it's defeating guys like Nakamura and Rusev, who are extremely talented guys and deserve better going into all of this.
The problem with the star power on the main roster is not with the talent. It's that you've never made any stars. You haven't tried to make stars. You've never made anyone seem special other than one or two guys. And the reason why Rusev is not a star is not on Rusev. It's on the WWE and the writing staff and Vince McMahon and everybody else involved. That's the problem. You are the problem. You can put Aleister Black on the main roster and you can have Michael Cole spout off a bunch of already annoying catchphrases about him and who he is, and Ricochet the same thing, and it's just going to be the same nonsense over and over and over again until the end of time, until you realize this is not the way to build a company around a bunch of guys who are basically 50-50 acts that compete in meaningless matches time and time again.
Yeah.
So that's my rant for the week. Actually, and the fact that I'm calling that my rant of the week when I could talk about Dean Ambrose for the next 25 minutes is impressive because Dean has made a random face turn, really for no reason, kind of out of nowhere, and he's also silly and annoying again. Good job, guys.
You know how he's a face? He doesn't have the air raids in his theme song anymore.
Yeah, sure. Just all of this
that
is so
segment. Oh, Jesus Christ. So we had, before even just that segment, the past 2 weeks, Raw has been filled with people interrupting other people for no reason other than to just start the next segment. It's people walking up the aisleway and while someone else's music hits and they kind of just walk past one another for no reason. I'm boggled by why they're doing this, but you had Elias interrupted by Lacey Evans, correct? Who just did
sure,
her thing.
Yes, that's true.
And then was interrupted by Dean to just DDT Elias. Eventually, I guess that did come back later on in the evening where Elias jumped into the beatdown on that to help out Baron Corbin, a guy who Baron Corbin got ratted out by Elias. Just whatever. Dumb. But all right, go ahead.
This is just, it's just not good. And I know Dean right now, as long as it's not a work, is on his way out and they probably don't care too much. And maybe they want to ride out a little more Shield magic before he rides off into the sunset. Maybe, but you can't just turn people from babyface to heel like this and get away with it. In my opinion, not when Dean was trying to be this totally despicable heel, not when he was doing some good work. Never really, I think, hit his real stride, but there's people that believe that he could have been the best heel in the company if they would have just given him the ability. And it's now just a wasted opportunity and wasted time. It did nothing, and it's just back to business as usual, poor writing. And speaking of poor writing, a pointless women's tag match. Ronda Rousey teaming with Natalya to fight the Riot Squad. How many times did we see this a couple months ago? Talking about all the issues between Natty and the Riot Squad. Yeah, those happened a while back, and they were more than resolved because that storyline was on fumes from the beginning. I did not care for this match. I do not care for seeing... One of my favorite things about this, Mike, was... I think it was Renee saying, you know, something about Ruby being upset about losing to Ronda last Monday. Did you forget she also lost to Ronda last Sunday? Do you forget that she had back-to-back matches with Ronda Rousey, losing handily all the time?
And Corey actually pointed that out early in the match by saying, like, now she's going to adjust her game plan because she knows that twice they haven't worked.
Well, good for Corey on that situation. I'm just saying that, you know, keep going to the well for no reason. All of this could have been accomplished. You did not have to have this match on the show. If you wanted to have that very mediocre and kind of cringeworthy talking segment with Ronda and Stephanie McMahon, they could have done it in a different way.
Yeah, Ronda's body language all during that weirded me out. She looked like she was kind of squaring up to punch, but just kept on like taking that back step and coming forward and then stepping back with it again, squaring up again. I was just like, what is she doing? And
there are certain points when she looks like she has this down pat, and other times when she reveals herself to be still a green act. And I thought on Monday night she revealed herself to be that. The entire promo was choppy. I didn't really kind of get what she was doing or trying to get at the entire time. It's another in a long line of bullshit authority figures stepping in and having anything to say about all this stuff. We saw it yet again on SmackDown with Vince McMahon. Go away. Remember? Shane McMahon, go away. Triple H, go away. Stephanie McMahon, go away. Let's have a good professional wrestling show without stupid authority figures sticking their noses into it.
Remember when we were told that we were in charge now?
Yes, I do.
Hashtag fresh start. Yeah. And by hashtag fresh start,
let's have Vince McMahon choose favorites on a regular basis and screw over the babyface everyone loves. That's a fresh start, Mike. The freshest start you can ever think of.
Breaking real grounds there.
Yeah, exactly. Groundbreaking. Dude, apparently I hated this episode of Raw because I got another segment that I can't stand. Alexa Bliss has gone from a multi-time women's champion, one of the most gifted talkers on the microphone, a legitimately good heel character, legitimately gets legitimate heat, can carry a talking segment, extremely talented. Now she's just a innuendo spouting afterthought. This is what they're reducing her to, making vaguely sexual references in a stupid talk show segment that means nothing. That's pathetic. I'm sorry. Alexa Bliss is extremely talented, and they're basically treating her like a diva right now from 1998. So I'm not on board with any of this. I have not enjoyed a single one of these Moment of Bliss segments that she's been a part of. They've been written poorly.
They last like a minute and a half before they completely break down all the time, too. I don't think a single question has ever been asked on one of these. It is, as you said, her gawking over attractive men interrupted.
It's pathetic. Go back and watch Piper's Pit. Go back and watch some of these interview shows, segments that's been done well over the years. And
Jericho's.
Do something more interesting to do a feud and to prolong it and to start it, other than have interruptions constantly. It was really bad. The match that came out of this with Leo Rush and Finn Balor was a solid match.
Yeah.
Leo Rush is a talented competitor, but I am sorry. Leo Rush is a manager of Bobby Lashley right now. Not saying he can't wrestle. He's a very, very good professional wrestler. But when your manager can basically hang as long as the person he manages with the Intercontinental Champion, Something is off. Now, if 2 months from now you actually have Leo Rush competing on a regular basis on Raw and we get to see his talent and ability and we get to see a ascension to that spot, but he basically brought Finn to the limit as a guy we never see wrestle, who is basically played off as a joke to Bob Lash. I think it's just such a sad, and it's just not necessary.
I think that they do try to differentiate it a bit by mentioning that he was on 205 Live as a wrestler or as a sports entertainer.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Prior to that. So making it seem like, yeah, he is doing managing, but he is also a wrestler, and he is a more than capable wrestler. I do appreciate them doing that, but I do get your frustration there, and I get your point with that. This is a guy who, as being a manager, should be put away pretty easily by a full-time wrestler. But I... I do think that they do a good job by saying, like, hey, he is also a wrestler, so therefore it can allow him to hang more. But I don't think that he should be squashed, but yeah, he maybe shouldn't be having 10, 12-minute matches with Finn when that's probably, like, the most that Lashley could probably do with Finn.
That's what I'm saying. If Leo Rush can hang with him in the same way that Bob Lash can, then what's happening here? If Finn can barely beat Bob Lash's manager, then what are we doing? And not that it wasn't a good match, not that I'm not happy that Leo Rush is getting a chance to shine. I think this is all good things for them individually. But the storytelling, you're going from A to Q. You got to go from A to B. There's a lot more story to tell with Leo Rush that you're going to put him in that position.
Yeah.
I just will take this moment to talk about Drew McIntyre. We have sung his praises since he showed up in NXT. If we are lacking in star power on the WWE roster and you're sitting there and you're pointing at Drew McIntyre and saying that this guy could be a standard bearer for your company, he has everything you want. He's intense. He's a talented pro wrestler. He's a good microphone worker. He has an it factor around him. And he is just another guy. He's in a horrible group of people. Now with Elias joining it, we had a few years ago, Mike.
Are you going to the Nation or the league?
Yeah, I cannot remember. I always
the
forget.
League of
toothless mid card heels.
The league of directionless mid card heels.
The league of directionless mid card heels. Yes. Well,
the
now
reincarnation.
But this is the name of the new faction that I've dubbed them, the Alliance of Poorly Booked Ineffective Heels. So we have the Alliance of Poorly Booked and Ineffective Heels now with Elias. With them, and it's just a shame that Drew McIntyre is in that group. He should be in a major match at WrestleMania, and he's just doing nothing.
Yeah. How the mighty have fallen. Like, does that work in that circumstance? Because this guy was white hot fire for months, and I feel like I said this a couple weeks ago. I feel like I can pinpoint the exact moment when it happened, and it's Dolph Ziggler beating him.
No reason to pin him. No reason at all. It was a terrible booking move, and he has been... That's not the reason why he's not in a better spot. It's just the start of it. They've done nothing to help him since then. When you're just a guy in a faction that's forming with no continuity or reason around it, then you're just a person that's taking a paycheck and going out there on Monday nights. And when you're complaining about star power and Braun Strowman, Drew McIntyre, two guys that could be main event guys, are just wasting away in the mid card. And not even the upper mid card. They're lower to mid card. They're not even important anymore. It's just it's very, very perplexing, especially when they should be the new shiny toys in general. This was not a good episode of Raw, Mike, because the match with Nia and Bayley also makes no sense to me. I don't need to see these two fighting in a singles match. First and foremost, what does it do? It does not make me want to see the tag team match coming up. I've already seen it. I'm already seeing these two people get their hands on each other. And I still don't even believe Sasha and Bayley as a tag team. They're friends. I get it. Have them fight another tag team. Have them get some momentum and keep those titles and make it a tag team thing.
Like an enhancement women's tag team match.
If they are not singles competitors, randomly thrown together because we had nothing better for them, then let's have them be a actual tag team and fight in tag team matches. I know it's crazy, I know it's revolutionary, and I know that there's no one in the back that has any idea how they could possibly do anything other than Nia versus Bayley. But, think a little harder,
Kevin,
next time.
You gotta get out of here with those 2020 fucking ideas. You're way too far in the future, man. Live in the now.
Yeah. It was garbage. The final segment with Ric Flair, nice video package as always. Mike, I'm going to leave it to you. What do you think about Batista?
I'm cool with it. And
he's a part-timer coming back to fight with Triple H at WrestleMania? I thought you'd be all over that.
A part-timer and a part-timer doing it, fine. Like, okay. They're not really holding back or taking up the time of a full-time person.
But they certainly are.
But they are going to take a spot. True. Touche on that. But, you know, there's actually a little bit, depending on where they actually go with this, there is some already built-in story here with the way that Batista left Evolution high and dry last time he was in WWE. So you got storyline there. Is that where they're going to go with it? I don't know. Who knows? This could be another, I've hearing people kind of thinking that this is another Vince McMahon thing, that this is going to be a Vince bringing back Batista and continuing to piss off the other members of the authority by him making these calls. We'll see. I thought it was interesting. I liked how he brought the cameraman with him, and therefore it wasn't just a random camera person in the backstage. Like, oh, why is this cameraman just happened to be there filming this weird thing going on? No, he grabbed a cameraman and was like, follow me. You're going to come and see what I'm doing. I kind of dug that. I also like the little nod to having blue glasses and a blue nose ring to the whole Blue Tista thing. But, you know, I always have enjoyed Batista's heel work, especially the later stuff. And I'm interested to see where things go.
I thought that the segment was very well done. The Batista part of that was very well done. So I will give them props for that. My thoughts, I am interested in this. I certainly am. I'm not 100% one side or the other there. I just feel like Charlotte Flair, I'm sorry, should not be in the main event at WrestleMania with Charlotte. With Becky and with Ronda. That just shouldn't happen. I want a one-on-one match. And if Triple H does not need to be in a match with Batista, you can find another match for Charlotte there, right? And you don't have to give us a triple threat match just for the sake of doing it. That's the way I'm looking at a lot of these things in general on a regular basis. They do too many multi-person matches at WrestleMania already. You know we're going to get a litany of them. We're going to get a ladder match for the IC belt or for the U.S. title, or if they're even represented on the show. We're going to get a fatal four-way for at least one of the tag team titles. So I just – every one of those matches does take up someone else's time. I'll hopefully enjoy it for what it is. I like seeing Hunter work. I still think he's – I'm not one of these people that's a huge – that thinks he's terrible and all. I like him as a professional wrestler. I get tired of him as an authority figure.
Yeah.
And I'm interested to see what Batista can still do in the ring, but I guess I'm just a little mixed here. I guess that's the best way to put it.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. SmackDown started off with one of these. I kind of alluded to this with the possible idea that Vince McMahon brought in, Batista, but, Vince McMahon comes out during the contract signing of Kofi and Bryan and inserts Kevin Owens into the match instead of Kofi. I also find it strange that WWE match contracts are pretty much just blank slates that anyone can sign. It's not like that there's behind, I mean, they are, from what we see, just one sheet of paper that has the logo of the pay-per-view and two lines to sign on. There's no actual jargon, but I like to believe there is beneath that, and that Kofi's name is in there somewhere. It's not just opponent, leaving open for Kevin Owens to just kind of swoop in and sign. But that's WWE. They go very basic with things like that.
Mike, what is happening here? I thought that the Kofi Kingston thing was interesting because he actually seemed to have some momentum behind him. He has not been in this position before. It seemed like an interesting WrestleMania setup that we wouldn't have seen before. Kevin Owens was doing promo work as a babyface, basically, with all of his updates about his status.
Mm-hmm.
But yet swoops in here in a very heel way and actually acted up as a heel. And by the way, I was serious. I did not see most of SmackDown, so I don't know what actually happened. But this is perplexing to me. Why is Vince McMahon involved in this at all? What are we doing?
I like to think that KO was not acting super heelish through this. I think that he is just was being a guy who is doing what he was told to do. And his interactions in the backstage with Shane and Steph by being like, hey, Vince told me this is what was going on just tonight. I didn't plan this. I didn't ask for this. You know what? Put me in a match with Kofi as my tag team partner against Brian and Rowan. And to go to that match, like, we'll talk about all of this. KO and Kofi seemed very reluctant about working with KO, but KO worked with them and they won the match, and KO stunned Brian to get the win. He gave him a stone cold stunner.
Oh yeah.
And they kind of celebrated a little bit afterwards with no shenanigans. So where if you would think that KO, being a heel, he would have probably done something during there, because WWE isn't long term on giving us weeks worth of teasing with KO. So maybe he is really a babyface in this whole thing. He's going against a mega heel here. But here's a couple trains of thought that I think could be going on. I had read something either late last week or earlier this week that the plan was for someone like KO to be the WrestleMania opponent. Maybe they are switching this up and turning KO into the warm-up opponent and going with Kofi at Mania and just building off of all of this and thinking this will only make Kofi an even bigger face in the eyes of the fans and get really supportive and maybe put the title on him on the grandest of all stages.
It seems unlikely to me at this point, just because I still think that, you know, Kevin Owens has held a world championship before, even though I know there's been situations with Kevin Owens and Vince McMahon where, you know, we're not sure what they really think of, what Vince really thinks of Kevin Owens. But KO just does seem like a bigger star and like the more logical person if they're going to the pull him into this. I mean, I'm seeing now triple threat with this too, which is unfortunate.
Yeah. The other thing that I had seen was that some people were thinking that Big E was going to cost Kofi the title at Fastlane and break up New Day and lead to Kofi and Big E at Mania.
You know how much I like the idea of Big E
as
a singles run, as a heel. I can see a lot of ways that works really, really well. So I'd be cool with that.
But I don't think that that's going to necessarily happen just yet. Or
no.
Maybe.
There's not a lot of reason to think that right now.
So this was a very pulling the rug out from under everyone. I don't think anyone really saw this coming. So it was crazy to say the least.
Yeah, I agree.
Speaking of crazy, Matt Hardy is back and teaming with Jeff Hardy, reforming the Hardys, and he seems rather well mentally and also in pretty good shape.
He did look a little bit better. I mean, we've talked about
the
fact
that... He still moved a little bit rough.
Well, listen, he's still... Yeah. He's still Matt Hardy. He's still put his body through decades of abuse. He did look a little bit better. We've said before that he looks like Mr. Glass out there sometimes. Like his one false step and his bones are going to shatter. You know how I feel about... I believe you know how I feel about Jeff Hardy and... the Hardys in general. I'm not that into them. I'm just not that interested in them as a tag team right now or as singles wrestlers. I don't think there really is a place. I think there's plenty of other talent on there that are more interesting. And the fact that they're now teaming again and as a tag team, and there's plenty of other tag teams that we could be seeing, it's a little disappointing to me.
Yeah, and seems like Matt has run a backup to a much earlier version of probably Matt Hardy version 1.0, to where he is more mentally capable of everything in life, and before he was broken and woken.
Yeah.
But yeah, they go over the bar here. Bar loses 2 weeks in a row to either a debuting team or a returning team. R-Truth, you know, the United States champion, that guy. He comes out for a U.S. Open challenge. What would John Cena do, as he put it? And Andrade and Rey kind of have a race to the ring to see who will be in it. And it turns into a triple threat. What did you think of this?
I thought it was fine. I like the fact... Well, let's start with the good thing. They featured their United States champion.
Finally.
So that's definitely going to be an up. The fact that they used it to facilitate the continued issues with Andrade and Rey tells me this is going to be a WrestleMania match. And... Oh, excuse me, Jesus. I'm very okay with that. These guys can definitely go, and especially Andrade deserves a lot more than what he's gotten so far on the main roster. But I'd like to see R-Truth get a real program at some point. I think there's potential there. I know that I am an unashamed R-Truth fan, which is something I never would have thought to say about myself.
You're an R-Truth apologist.
Yes, I am. If you would listen to our early podcast, you would be very surprised by that, because that is not something that I certainly didn't used to feel that way. But I'd like to see him in a real program. I'd like to see him get a shot to use this comedic character and his in-ring talent and his athleticism to do something fun.
And it is surprising a little bit, despite all of that, that if Andrade and Rey is going to be a focal storyline, not using the title in that and like hot-shotting the title to one of them so that that feud revolves around the title, that's a little surprising that they didn't go with that. But that does then offer the ability to do something with R-Truth, like you said.
Sure.
And it is very crazy how you went from a truth skeptic to a truth apologist.
That's very true. That's very true in itself, Mike.
So this is about where you said your DirecTV went out and you did not see the remainder of the show, right?
That is true.
So pretty much we talked about the main event. So you missed a promo from Charlotte. pretty standard fare promo from her, but demanding that Vince McMahon award her the title that Ronda threw down on Raw next week. So we'll see what happens on Raw regarding that. That it will probably come back with Becky somehow, Ronda, blah, blah, blah. And then we had the makeshift tag team of Aleister Black and Ricochet taking on Rusev and Nakamura. Black and Ricochet win. Fine match, but, you know, those guys win. That was pretty much it.
Well, at least they beat a makeshift tag team and not the Raw tag team champions.
Yeah, that's true. Or if they would have put them in with the Usos, who were conspicuous by their absence.
Well, listen, with a two-hour show and the amount of people they have on there, they don't always put their champions on the show. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, it's fine from week to week, and we've talked about that, and that's like the formula of NXT, and we've talked about how much we like that.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, that pretty much did it for SmackDown there. I feel like there was something that I wanted to bring up to you, and I didn't write it down for something that happened in between episodes, but I don't necessarily remember what it was.
It must not have been that important, Mike.
I guess not. Anything that you want to bring up before we shove off here?
I don't think so. I am continuing to feel very disillusioned by the amount of talent on the roster, by the crossover with all these people. I made the joke about Lacey Evans in the build up, and I'm hearing all this stuff about how she's going to be one of the main focal points of the women's division. And my question is a very simple: how? She's, from what I understand of her as an NXT competitor, she's very limited. She's a work in progress. Why? Because she's tall, blonde, and attractive? That's what you're going to do? That's who you're going to push? How about Asuka? How about you feature her on an episode of your TV show? How about you feature someone like Ruby Riott? How about you feature Shayna Baszler? How about you feature tons of other women that are already on your roster instead of giving this awful gimmick that will not get over? It will absolutely not get over. So I just think it's another example of how just completely tone deaf the decision makers in WWE are. Not that I'm not happy for Lacey Evans. Maybe she will be pleasantly surprising in the role. But what we've seen so far has been dreadful.
Yeah, I don't know. I've seen some people argue, well, it's getting you to hate her. Like, but not in the real heelish way that like I'm used to. Like, I don't want her to even bother coming out.
It's like, annoying. There's a difference between annoying. When Carmella was a heel champion, she was extremely annoying. I didn't want to see her get beaten up. I just didn't want to ever see her. So, yeah, it's a very, very different thing. And there's also the parallels to, like, Eva Marie. How she would say, oh, she's going to be here, and then not show up. That was a better gimmick than... I still don't know what the hell she's doing. There's no rhyme or reason to it. No one's even telling a story.
Is there a joke that I'm not getting?
Not only that, but they're also doing this freaking god-awful thing where everyone on commentary, both Corey and Renee, are like, well, this is great. She's the first lady of the WWE. Yeah, I cannot stand when there's one thing for commentary to put over a talent. You want to look at textbook ways to do that? Go listen to Jim Ross put over Stone Cold Steve Austin or Mick Foley or The Rock or one of countless other stars from yesteryear. Just fawning over and acting like they're the greatest thing you've ever seen is not the way to do it. It's just really not. It doesn't get them over. It seems so pandery and so desperate. And that's what all of this feels like.
Yeah, that's very true. A lot of times when someone just talks about and talks about and talks about, oh, look at how great this thing is, and I love it. Like, it almost tells me, well, then I'm going to hate it just because I want to. I want to be anti this thing that you love so much.
Yeah.
And that you can't shut up telling me about it. But then I feel like that's the way that I am to you with a lot of things in life. I'm always telling you about things that I love, and you're like, motherfucker, better stop talking about those terrible things.
I just don't care, Mike. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's our thing about our relationship, our friendship. It's built upon a mutual hatred of the things that we love. But yeah, I don't know what they're trying to do here. To me, like, it almost comes across to me like a death sentence, if you're, as far as wrestling terms go, to just like go out there and do this. Are you sure? Go out there and do this. It's just almost to be made fun of, to be a joke, so that they can all laugh at the person, and then they'll release them or do nothing with them for about 6 months and then release them. But apparently she's the next big thing as far as they're concerned. Could have fooled me.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So I think that about wraps things up here for this week's episode. Nice, short, sweet, and concise, I think. Make sure that you check out our social media at Miss Spots on Twitter and on Instagram. You can follow us along as we tweet along to Raw and SmackDown and the pay-per-views on Twitter there. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/MissSpots. You can listen to this podcast in one of many different wonderful fashions, such as our website, MissSpotsPodcast.com, or simply MissSpots.com. You can also find us on many of the major streaming services for podcasts: Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, Google Podcasts, Podcast Addict, TuneIn. Any of those services, you can find us, subscribe to the show, so that you can get brand new episodes delivered to the device of your choice every Thursday, free of charge. We're also on Geek Life Radio every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on geeklifradio.com. For Kevin, my name's Mike. We'll catch you next week for the preview episode 2, Fastlane. Good night. Good wrestling.